I'm the type of person that realizes you will be fucking consumed by other people if you let it. And while it's amazing for them, it is ultimately corrosive for you. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Relationship Theory. I'm your co-host, Tom Bilyeu, and I'm here with my lovely wife, whose hair looks amazing today, Lisa Bilyeu.
Hello.
What's up, homie?
All right, so this question is from Facebook, from Gabrielle Claudette. I have three teenage girls and a husband who always demands that I put them and their needs above mine. How do I show them that I value myself and that I deserve to be valued? This has been very challenging.
Man, you know I have a response.
Go for it. I know you do, which is why.
So let me get my aggressive posture on. So people treat you exactly the way you let them treat you. Now, here's the critical part. Before I go into my tirade, which I'm going to go into, one, how you make the other person feel matters, and it matters a lot. So making sure that they feel that they're important to you, that you love them beyond all reason and measure, like that is fucking critical. And can we agree? I make you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, having said that, I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do. I'm going to build the life I want to build. That is that. That's a non-negotiable. Like, this is who I am. I am ambitious. I am going to build something. I'm going to build it whether you're with me or not. Now, I'm coming from a place of, I make sure that you feel a certain way, that when you ask for my time and attention, which you're never abusive about, fucking I give it. That example that you talked about of the phone, like that is a minor example of times where if you said, look, today I just need your time and attention, I would tell everyone, get the fuck out of the house, office is closed. Like in those acute moments, let's take a minute to define acute, very specific, very limited in its time, duration, however you want to look at it. It is limited. But in that acute moment, if you say you need something, I'll fucking drop anything. Like that if you call three times, I'm going to be there for you. It does not matter who I'm with. And I have lived up to that. So for those that are just joining, if you call me once, I'm going to ignore it. You call me twice, now I'm on alert, but I'm still going to ignore it. If I'm in a meeting or something.
What?
If you call me the third time, if I'm with I used to say the president of the United States, I don't anymore. If I were with, name them.
Jay-Z.
Perfect.
In an interview.
Yes. Literally. Fuck that. Like, I'm stopping it because I know that you would never abuse that. And you have, in our entire relationship, only done that once
I've called you three times.
Once.
And that was because our dog had
another story. But like, I literally was in a meeting when you did it. And I said, guys, this isn't going to make any sense, but I have to leave right now.
Yeah.
And so I just left. Literally in the middle of the meeting, and I went home and we dealt with the situation. Now, because I am consistent with that behavior, mm-hmm. you do not doubt for a second how much I love you, mm-hmm. how important you mm-hmm. are to me, the lengths to which I would go. Like, I invest in this relationship. But I also take selfish time. When I need something, I'm going to tell you I need this for myself. I'm going to go do it when it's important. And only one time in our relationship has it collided where you needed something and I needed something and they could not coexist. And in that moment, from my perspective, it was so critical to do what I needed to do that that's what I did. And I did not feel bad. I felt horrible that you were alone in a moment of need, but I didn't feel bad because I knew I didn't feel bad that I had chosen that because I needed to do that, if that makes sense,
yes.
right? It was one of those times where I could say with all sincerity and I wasn't going to back down, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Legitimately, like the fact that you're going through that emotion and you feel left, I am aching inside because of that. But I'm not conflicted. I know exactly what I need to do to, like, for our own futures to protect it. And I had clarity on that and I did it. Can we agree that it worked out?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So, dude, that shit, like, they both have to be true. You have to make those people feel that they are your number one. Feel. But that does not mean that they get the majority of your time, that you put them, like, whenever your needs are colliding, that you're always putting the other person first.
Right, but I want to, because what you're saying is very empowering, and I think it's great tip if you haven't started. But imagine you're already... Right, she's got kids. She's got three teenagers. So let's say for like 16 years of her life, just making up a number, but let's say 16 years of her life, she's made decisions in certain situations where she's got
to. So how do we pull a 180?
Exactly. Like, what are the actual steps that if someone out there is trying to do, right? Where it's like, I want to be selfish now. Like, how do I make that transition without saying, F you, you guys don't care. It's all about me now. Like, how do you pull that off?
So one, she's got to do the identity work. So I'm the type of person that make sure that I'm making the other people feel loved, that they know how important they are to me. I'm the type of person that actually does care about them, loves them, wants to protect them, like whatever she sees her role as being. She has to reinforce that shit. Second, I'm the type of person that realizes you will be fucking consumed by other people if you let it. And while it's amazing for them, it is ultimately corrosive for you. So I'm the type of person that doesn't do things that are corrosive to me. I'm the type of person that makes sure that I build myself up, that I have me time, that I recognize myself as an individual sovereign person. Now, the reason I'm saying all of that is because the first time her child looks at her with those puppy dog eyes, because she's changed her behavior, which I'll walk through how to change that behavior. But once that happens and that look of betrayal crosses her child's face, which it will feel like a betrayal to them because A, they don't have a fucking prefrontal cortex. So they're an emotional mess. Doesn't stop developing until you're like 25. Mm-hmm. So like that is coming for her and she'll crumble. And then they
she'll
will
feel really guilty.
100%. And they're going to reel her back in. And then like she's going to be ever living in this conflicted zone of like, I don't want to see that look on their face. And yet I have to like carve this space for myself, create these boundaries. So because what I'm about to tell her is how to create the boundaries, but it doesn't work if people don't realize like how the amount of consistency that it takes. So now once she's done that work, she's going to sit them down either individually or in a group, whatever she thinks is better. She knows the people I don't. I would with the team, I would do it all at once. Anything to do with you though, like in fact, this is a perfect example. So there's you and there's the team. Now in one view, you're part of the team, but in the other, you're my wife. So anytime I have like a big announcement, and I'm not 100% perfect at this, but I always try to tell you first so that you don't feel like, whoa, I didn't know this was coming. Like you're my partner, both business-wise and in marriage.
So you're saying she should tell the husband first before the kids.
She needs to figure that out. I'm just saying like there are very real situations where I would definitely tell you alone first and then address other people together. So maybe it's the husband by himself and then the kids together. That makes sense to me as I talk.
Because then they can approach with kids. If she really gets her point across to her husband, then her husband can now be her teammate in sitting with the kids. Because I think that's important. Like, I think you need to get the husband on board. Otherwise, the kids will just say, well, hang on a minute, that doesn't do that.
Infinitely genius advice. I think it's brilliant. So talk to him first, get him on the same page, let him know, like, I love you. I want to make sure that I'm making you feel that way. Let me know, like, am I making you feel that way? Walk through, like, what are the things that are really critical for him? They may be really small. Like, one thing for you that's insanely meaningful, and I'm still shocked, even though I recognize it is true, is me boiling your hot water for you. Crazy, but, like, great. So that is, A, very easy to execute on, and B, makes you feel a certain kind of way. So find those things, whatever they are, the three phone calls, so that in moments where he really fucking needs you, that you're going to be there. Mm-hmm. Like the big things, the little things, like figuring out which ones are actually
marquee.
And
actually have those. Like, it makes me feel great when you do this. Like, be specific. Because I think anytime you have to try and guess, it's like, oh, he likes it when he feels loved. Okay, well, how does he interpret love, right? Like, get even more specific down to the, when you boil me the kettles, so that when I wake up in the morning, it's already nice and hot. Like, that is meaningful to me. So it's an act that you can absolutely execute on it very easily.
Definitely.
Not easily, but I'm saying you can execute. It's very clear.
Because
if I'm like, I want to feel loved and you go and buy me flowers, and I'm like, I don't need you to spend money on me. I just need you to, like, it makes a difference. So be very clear on how the husband interprets that from her.
Definitely. So the ultra clarity on what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. But then she's going to have to create the boundaries, because chances are that if he's had, you know, 16, 20 years, however long they've been together, of just him being all consuming, like, there's going to have to be lines in the sand. He may ask for more than you're going to be able to deliver and still carve time out for yourself. You have to do the same with the kids. Set expectations. Let them know what they can expect. Let them know what you're going to say yes to, what you're going to say no to, that it doesn't in any way, shape, or form diminish how much you love them, that you want check-ins with them to see, you know, same things with them. Like, what are the things that are really key, really important for them? They're going to ask for too much, so you have to carve out the boundaries. And then be insanely consistent, insanely consistent. So for instance, our dogs used to bark a lot when people started working here, and it drove me crazy. It drove everybody else crazy. But the fact was that I was trying to get shit done. And so I would just ignore it. And I'm probably much better at ignoring. A, it's my child, so that always makes it easier. And then B, I'm able to compartmentalize, really focus maybe more than the average bear. So finally, Agent Smith, as the voice of the people, came to me and said, yeah, the fucking dogs are, he didn't say that. He was very, very diplomatic and kind, as he always is, but got the message across, the dogs are barking too much. And so I knew what needed to be done, which is inhuman consistency. Like, every single time, no matter what I'm doing, when they bark, get up, lock them away, period, end of story. Mm. And so now they don't.
So be consistent with...
Like inhumanly consistent. Yeah. Like you can't bend, buckle, or break, not once, because like they're not doing it from a bad place, but they will then just encroach, encroach, encroach again. Mm. So she has to do that hard work. Nobody's going to do it for her. Yes, it's tough. Yes, they will look at you in the beginning like you're betraying them. Yes, it will be frustrating for them. Yes, it like... I remember when... Go ahead.
No.
You took a breath. I know you want to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I think that... I bet you guilt's really going to play a part. And I think a lot of people do feel like that. Like, I definitely felt when I went from being a housewife to now being, you know, founding team member of Quest and working there every day. I remember I felt insanely guilty that you had to sort out your own food. And I just had the mantra, like, he has to do it, he has to do it. Like, I would tell myself, because I knew that I would break otherwise. But like, oh, babe, let me just do that. And then before I know it, I'm getting stressed and worn out because now I'm trying to do everything. And so even though I didn't feel good, and I knew that I didn't feel good, and I knew that I felt guilty, I just had those mantras, those things that I would repeat to myself to force myself not to do it. Like, Lisa, you can't be the best business partner if you try to do that, right? Like, or like thinking of the pros, like the good reasons on why I shouldn't do it instead of focusing on the guilt of it, really helped me get through that transition where I just felt like a terrible wife because now you were making yourself lunch and I had been doing it for so many years, and I felt guilty, but I just had to stay strong and tell myself, like, this isn't good for the long term. And so for her, it's like, it's not good for her own sanity, it's not good for her own health, right? Of being a good mother, you should be happy within yourself. With being a great wife, you need to be content with yourself. And so if you're not working on that, then you can't deliver. So if I would feel guilty about it, I would actually tell myself, this is what you need to do to be the best mother, this is what you need to do to be the best wife, is take care of yourself as well. And even though you don't feel it at first, it's kind of like fake it till you make it, right? Like, just fake it. Like, no, you do need this. Like, force that thought into your head every time you go to feel guilty.
Love that.